Welcome to Intentional with Dr. Faye. Intentional is the radio show dedicated to opening the gateways of knowledge into a deeper, more committed way of living your heaven on earth. You will learn how to build a relationship with God that will radically change the way you live your life forever. You will discover that you're not alone in this journey. You have access to eternal life now and all that it offers. Just listen as Dr. Faye shares the gospel to empower, motivate, inspire, and encourage you to live an intentional life.
What would happen if the President of these United States called a prayer meeting? What would happen if every mayor, every governor, every person in politics that is a leader in this nation would have a relationship with God and begin to pray? We want to take a closer look at what happens when leadership prays. And I ask the question today, what would happen if America prayed? Today, here on Intentional, I want to welcome you to another faith-based out loud radio broadcast right here every Sunday at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our messages are to ignite the fire that is already inside of you, to get you to a place where you would think again about what you've been thinking about, and to be able to empower you to make sound decisions from a spiritual perspective out of your growing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, an established and growing relationship. Today, we want to speak to you from a place that's near and dear to my heart, is leadership and prayer and bringing people to a place that they can truly achieve greatness and be this great nation that God has intended for us to be. I truly believe from the very foundation of this nation, even from our forefathers, we take men like George Washington, who certainly had a time of prayer, according to history. It is said that it didn't matter what else was going on around him, that he would divorce himself from the setting and go into his prayer time at 9 o'clock. What would happen if we had presidents and leaders and kings of nations who would do such a thing, have an open relationship with God, and would spend their time talking to God about leadership matters, talking to God about his people, rather than the bickering and the fighting that we see all of the time across social media as well as in mass media. Today, I want to give you food for thought and to empower you in such a way that perhaps your mind will be shifted from where it has been for so long in getting caught up in the negative and toxicity of media into a place of clarity and reasoning that you can come to and realize that you are so powerful within yourself that your prayers matter and they can shift not only the atmosphere, they can shift the dynamics of business meetings. They can shift the dynamics of whatever is going on in the world. I truly believe that. We have example after example in the good book, in the Bible, in God's book. We have example after example of people coming to themselves through the relationship that they develop with God through prayer. I'd like to begin this teaching or this series, as it may be, and taking a closer look at one of the greatest men that ever lived and the wealthiest that is recorded in the Bible. And this man is named Solomon. He was the son of David. David, the psalmist, was his father. David wrote many of the psalms in the book of Psalms. He wrote many of the verses, I should say. And David became a man of war. He came at a time where Israel was still being established. Israel still had to dominate and take authority. Joshua had led the people through many wars. And so by the time that David came on the scene, there were still some battles that needed to be fought. And David loved God. It doesn't mean he was a perfect man, but yet he was a leader of people who fought for his people. He didn't fight against them. He took care of problems that were in his camp, that were in the nation, but he didn't fight against his people. You wouldn't find him tainting himself with trying to destroy his own people, because he realized any words against his own people was a direct attack upon his own life. So he led the people, and people followed him because they trusted him. How many of you know when you have good leadership, it is because you have developed a rapport with people, and there are people who trust you. You have to be able to trust the leader with your life, especially if you're on the battlefield, because leaders have a tendency, they have to tell you what directives to take. I've never been in the military, but military men and women can tell you this, that leading people, you have to be able to hear the voice of your leader. It has to be distinct. It has to be a voice that you respect. And when they say go, you go. And when they say do, you do. You have to be able to follow that leader. And it has to be a good leader if you're planning on surviving. If you're planning on coming out victorious, it must be a leader who cares enough about you to not send you into harm without knowing, having an exit strategy. Yes, yes, and yes. Leadership has to be strategic. So, but the teacher is not directly on leadership today. It is on leadership who prays. What would happen if American leaders began to pray? What would happen if Americans returned to God and began to pray? So we want to take a closer look at that. And as I said, beginning with Solomon, the son of David, who became king of Israel, king of a nation, leadership of a nation. In this country, in the West, we would say the president of a nation. So we want to look at it in that light, through those lenses. As we talk about Solomon, I want you to think about the president of this nation. The character of Solomon was one of great wisdom. He operated so fluidly from a place of wisdom and in spiritual intellect, intelligence, higher intelligence. Yes. What is an artificial intelligence? It was higher intelligence. It was HI, not AI. Yay, yay, yay. And so he operated from that place, and he was able to access the wisdom of God in order to lead. He did not access that because he was born of David. He accessed it because he asked for it. He asked God for wisdom, knowledge, to go in and out among the people. He did not ask for wealth. He did not ask for things. He asked for wisdom in order to lead a nation. What if presidents will begin to pray, asking for wisdom to lead a nation, asking for words that they should speak, asking God for counsel, asking God to give them guidance, asking God what is the state of the nation, asking God to give input? What would happen? Let's take a look. I want to read this from the Amplified Bible in 2 Chronicles, the 6th chapter. And I want you to follow along with me, those of you who are regular attendees to this church right here every Sunday at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can follow along with me as I read it out of the Amplified. It says, "Then Solomon said, 'The Lord has said that he would dwell in the thick cloud. I have built you a lofty house, a place for you to dwell forever.'" Solomon is making this statement because his father David was not allowed to build a house for God, a temple, because David was a man of war. His hands had blood on them. Doesn't mean he was an evil man, but God said, no, that was your purpose. You were a man of war, but your son will be a man of peace. Yes, and he will build me a house. David wanted to with all of his heart, but God did not allow it. In verse 3, he says, "Then the king turned around and blessed the entire assembly of Israel while they were all standing. The king, the one in authority over the nation, blessed the people." What would happen if the leader blessed the people and not cursed them? And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who spoke with his mouth to my father David and has fulfilled with his hands what he promised, saying, 'Since the day that I brought my people out of the land of Egypt, I did not choose a city among all the tribes of Israel in which to build a house so that my name and my presence might be there, nor did I choose any man to be a leader over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem that my name might be there, and I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, because it was in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build a house, but your son who will be born to you, he shall build a house for my name. Now the Lord has fulfilled his word, which he has spoke. For I have risen in the place of my father David, and I sit on the throne of Israel, just as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. There I have placed the ark, the symbol of his presence, in which is the covenant of the Lord, the Ten Commandments, which he made with the people, descendants of Israel. So Solomon goes from this place of speaking of the historical aspects of the temple and how it got to this place from where he is, to explain to the people, to help people to remember that this was God's plan, God's idea, and the people belong to God. The nation belong to God. Did you hear me? The nation belong to God, not to man. The nation belonged to God. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That means America belongs to God. I totally support anyone who believes this nation is great and has a hope and a future. I believe that. I support that thought. Because why? I know that this is a nation, still one of the strongest or the strongest Christian nation on the planet. And it will take Christian leadership, God-fearing, God-ordained leadership, to bring this nation to the place that God intends for it to go. Whether you recognize it as a great nation or not, it is still God-ordained, God blessed, God sanctioned, and it's wonderful to be in America. As we begin to take on a new America, I would say, a newborn America, a reborn America, we are going to see leadership the way God has ordained, even as we have seen and will see here as we study Solomon for this message. After Solomon had reminded the people of how they got there to this place, to this temple, because this temple was 7 years in the building. They weren't building a wall to keep people out. They were building a building for the presence of God to be housed and that the people would know that God was among them. What if we spent our time dedicating to honoring the presence of God that is among us? What would happen to our problems? What would happen to other nations? What would happen to the strangers at our door? What would happen to people who are seeking refuge, who are seeking help? What would happen with our children if we would begin to seek God? Solomon opens up with a prayer of dedication that I believe is a great prayer for dedication for anybody who's starting out on a journey and wanting God to bless their business or bless their ministry and bless their families. Think about prayers of dedication. This leader of a nation, after he had built God a house, put God first. Somebody shout, put God first. Matthew 6 and 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added. What would happen if a nation sought God first? What would happen if America put God first? That's how America can be great again. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of the entire assembly of Israel and spread out his hands. What is he doing? He's positioning himself before God. Some people position themselves with praying hands. Some people position themselves with bowed heads. Some people position themselves with eyes looking upward. Some people get on their knees. Some people get on their face. Some people just stop where they are and say, you know what? I don't have time to do anything but just pray from where I am. But Solomon had a plan. He knew that his reign had to be impactful, because here he was, found himself over millions of people, and he knew he needed God. How many of you know you cannot lead people until you know how to hear God? I don't care who you are. I don't care who says what and how many pictures of you are taken with you bowing your head. You cannot lead people until you are led of God. He spread out his hands. He had made a bronze platform, 5 cubits square and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the courtyard, and he stood on it, and he knelt down on his knees in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. Right before the people, he lifted up his hands, spread out his hands before God. What would happen if the leader of the nation took that posture? Oh, some of those pros will become anti. Oh, I'm with you until you start honoring God. I'm with you until you really get serious about God. I'm with you as long as you're just mediocre, or you're just mildly, or you just say God, but you don't really talk about the love of Jesus. I'm with you until then. What would happen if the leader of a nation, of this nation, of America, would position themselves in such a holy way that all the world would know that they have bowed before the God of heaven? Mm-hmm. And he said these words. This is what Solomon said, the leader of the nation. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or on the earth, keeping covenant, showing mercy, and loving kindness to your servants who walk before you in obedience with all their heart. These are the words of a leader of a nation. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father, that which you told him. You have spoken with your mouth and have fulfilled it with your hand, as it is today. Now therefore, O Lord, the God of Israel, keep with your servant David, my father, that which you promised him, saying, you shall not fail to have a man to sit on the throne of Israel, provided your sons are careful to walk in your law as you. David have walked before me. Now then, O Lord, the God of Israel, let your words which you have spoken to your servant David be confirmed, be verified. So Solomon is praying, this leader of the nation. He's praying right before the people. He's humbled himself before God right before the people, not behind the walls, not in a secret place, but this is his secret place, a sacred place. Leaders lead by example, open example. And this leader is saying, I'm going to pray for the people before the people. If he was giving a State of the Union address, that was Solomon's. Solomon was in prayer before the nation. The Bible says in verse 18, 2 Chronicles 6 and 18, but will God actually dwell with mankind on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house which I have built? Yet, have regard for the prayer of your servant and for his supplication, O Lord, my God, to listen to the cry and to the prayer which your servant prays before you, that your eyes may be open toward this house day and night, toward the place in which you have said that you would put your name or presence there, to listen to the prayer which your servant shall pray toward this place. So listen to the request of your servant and your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from your dwelling place from heaven. And when you hear, forgive. So he says, I'm asking you to forgive us of our sins. I'll be back in just a moment.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. news blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Forgive us. What if it would happen if the leader of the nation cried out before God and the people to say, Lord, forgive us of our sins? What would happen? What would that look like in America if the president, whichever president, would cry out to God before the people and say, Father, forgive us of our sins. We are a repentant nation. We want to return to God with all of our heart. I know you cannot dwell just in one place, God, he said, but I built you a sanctuary. I built you a house. What if the nation would put God first? Matthew 6 and 33 said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added. Everything else will be attracted. Whatever the needs of a people are, or a person is, will begin to be attracted to the seeking of God. We take the long way home and the rough way home, the rough road. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Do you not know when we turn to God, God turns to us? He takes the yokes off of us, the burdens off of us. He said, take my yoke and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You shouldn't be heavy. You shouldn't be heavy laden or loaded down with the cares of this life. Solomon continues to pray with his eyes upon God. As we move to verse 21, so listen to the request of your servants and your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from your dwelling place, from heaven, and when you hear, forgive. Verse 22, he reads, he says, if a man sins against his neighbor, and he is required to take an oath, and he comes and takes the oath before your altar in this place, then hear from heaven and act and judge your servants, punishing the wicked by bringing his conduct on his own head, and providing justice to the righteous by giving to him in accordance with his righteousness innocence. He said, I'm not asking you to not pay people back for what they've done wrong and they've refused to repent. But for those who would turn toward you, I am asking that you would hear and that you will forgive. He goes on in verse 24 as Solomon, I'm going through this for a reason, because I want us to understand what happens when leadership comes to God. I don't care what's in the media and what who said what and what they think about it. The proof is here. The fruit, the tree is known by the fruit that it bears. When leadership is walking with God, everything around them begins to shift. If your people Israel have been defeated by an enemy because they have sinned against you, and they return to you and confess your name and pray and make supplication before you in this house, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them again to the land which you gave to them and to their fathers. He said, forgive them. This is leadership praying to forgive the people, not fight the people, not war against the people, not hate on the people, but forgive the people, God. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, and they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin when you afflict and humble them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants and your people Israel indeed. Teach them the good way in which they should walk, and send rain on your land when you have given to your people, as which you have given to your people as an inheritance. Solomon said, don't leave us like this. Don't leave us in this mess. Don't leave us in rebellion and hatred toward one another and social media hating each other and Twittering each other to the point that we have all this envy and strife and jealousy and hatred, this venom that's flowing. Solomon, the leader, stood up and said, God, bring us to a place of repentance. That was his prayer. He didn't spend time being part of the problem. He spent time with God so that he could be the problem solver. Are you hearing me, ladies and gentlemen? He asked God to forgive. In verse 28, he continues. He said, if there's a famine, if there's pestilence, is there blight or mildew? In other words, if there's problems in the land, if there's chaos, if there is a medical crisis, if there is hunger in the nation, if there are wars on the streets, if there's terrorism, whatever you are experiencing, if the people will repent, there will be healing in the land. You'll see that later. If the enemies come after them and they repent, whatever prayer that they make, God, we're asking you to hear him. Solomon said it this way, then whatever prayer or request is made by any man or all of your people, Israel, even knowing his own suffering and his own pain and stretching out his hands toward this house, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and forgive and render to each in accordance with all his ways, whose heart you know, for you alone know the hearts of the sons of men. See, God knows our hearts. And we hear that saying all the time. But Solomon was pointing that out to say, if they're repenting, you know they are. If they're really godly sorrowful, you know they are. If they really have a prayer life, you already know it. They can't just pray when the camera's on. They can't just bow their heads when the camera's on. I want to know what you're doing when the camera's not on. Hello, somebody, amen, church. I want to know what you're doing when nobody's watching. Are you praying then, leadership? The king of Israel prayed before the people. There were no cameras. There was no social media. He couldn't tweet it. He got before the people and cried out to his God. And he said, if they sin, forgive them. Hold that man accountable that did wrong to his neighbor. Hold that murderer accountable. Hold that rapist accountable. Hold that terrorist accountable. But protect the people whose hearts have turned toward you so that there will be a fear of God among the people. They have to know that there is an accountability. They have to know that there's a system in place that will hold them accountable if they cross the line and refuse to repent. But those who repent, I ask that you would cover them. This is a man who loved the people that God had given him the charge over. He wasn't a leader that just sat back and said, oh, look at those people. If they're not for me, I'm going to destroy all of them. He did not have that hateful spirit. He did not have that kind of, I'm going to get you back spirit. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. The Bible says vengeance belongs to God, not to man. We shouldn't try to get people back. Oh, we have to deal with problems. You betcha. And sometimes those issues can take us into the courtroom, or sometimes those issues can take us into different places. But I'm telling you, Solomon was a leader who was pro-people. He took it as an honor to be the leader, to be the king, to be the one in authority, to be the one who could assist in making laws that will help people and to change lives. He counted as a blessing. He said, not only will follow him through this passage, through this prayer, we see that he not only prayed for Israel, but then he brought in the strangers. He said, when strangers come, because he knew that Israel had enough, had been so blessed, as America has been so blessed, such a blessed nation. He knew Israel could afford to invite the strangers. Israel could afford to embrace those around them. And he said, if the foreigners come in and if they would humble themselves and pray, if they would seek God, if they would begin to delight themselves in the Lord, if they would begin to pray, would you forgive them too? Would you allow the strangers to be cleansed so that they can also be partaker of the blessings? This is the prayer of a leader, someone who truly loved people. You see, there are signs of good leadership, and there are signs that are throughout the Bible. There are examples of good leadership, and this good leadership always put the people first. Solomon put the people first. He didn't put his office first. He put the people first in this prayer. He had spent 7 years with the people's help building this temple, and now it was time to dedicate it to the Lord. He said, so the foreigners, I want them to be blessed. He said, if they come in and they are from a far country, he said, for the sake of your great name and your mighty power and your outstretched arm, when they come and pray toward this house, then hear from heaven and from your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigners call to you, so that all the people of the earth may know your name and fear you reverently and worshipfully, as do your people Israel, that they may know that this house which I have built is called by your name. Solomon wasn't taking credit for any good thing that happened. He gave all the credit to God. What would happen if a leadership gave the credit to God? Publicly, openly, and undeniably saying it's because of God. It is because of the grace of God. If there's any good thing in America, it is because of God. What if all the credit went back to whom it is due? And that is God, the Creator. I won't deny him. He said, when they sin against you, he asked for God, that when they turn their faces toward the temple, when they turn their faces toward him and cry out to him, that he would hear from heaven their prayer and their request and maintain their cause and do justice. This is a leadership prayer. He says, if they would sin, but then they turn back and they take it to heart and they repent and pray to you, if they've been caught into captivity, if the enemy has overcome them in some way, terrorists have surrounded them, if they turn to God, you will hear their heart. You will heal them. You will turn your heart back to them. You will hear from heaven, in verse 39, from your dwelling place, their prayer and requests, and maintain their cause and do justice and forgive your people who have sinned against you. How many of you know that when you sin, you need forgiveness? And wherever the sin is in America, we all as Americans need to turn our hearts toward God and ask for forgiveness of our nation. As a people and as leadership around this world, whether it's the mayor, the governor, the ambassador, whomever, whatever position, all of that means nothing at the end of your journey here on earth. The only thing that will matter is that what did you do with the life that you were graced with? As a leader, you are accountable for looking out for the people. Solomon looked out for the people in prayer and in his life. And verse 40, it reads, now, O my God, I pray, let your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. Now then arise, O Lord, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength and power. Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and your godly ones rejoice in your goodness. O Lord God, do not turn away and reject the face of your anointed. Remember your loving kindness and faithfulness to your servant David. You see, when others would have asked for great wealth, power, position, Lord, make my name great in the earth and make me powerful, Solomon said, I want wisdom to lead this great people. These people are your people. They're not my people to do with what I will. They are your people, and I want wisdom to go in and out. God heard Solomon's prayer then, and God granted him his request. Not only did he give him great wisdom, he also made him the wealthiest man that's ever noted in the Bible. He was extremely wealthy because he did not put wealth before God and he did not put wealth before people. You see, God raises up leadership with a heart for people. And when you see people hurting people, that's not a heart for people. It just isn't, ladies and gentlemen. We can dress it up and call it something else, but people who hurt people are not helping people. It may appear to be helping some, but overall, it's hurting the whole. Solomon looked out for the entire nation of Israel to come into harmony with God, to come under submission to the authority of Spirit, to be able to access God even if they sin, so that they would have a place of repentance always in Israel. And he talked to God about that place of repentance so that people would know that God would honor their repentance no matter how far away from him they had gone, no matter how rebellious they had been. All they needed to do was turn around and say, "Father, forgive me, I've sinned." And he would forgive the sin and he would make a way of escape for them and bring them back into fellowship with him. What if Americans, what if our American leader, what if the president of these United States, what if the senators and representatives and the justice, what if all of these people who are sitting in those places would begin to pray? What would that look like? News stories would be brief. What would that look like? Well, maybe not brief, but they would surely change the reporting. Would go something like this: revival broke out today on Capitol Hill. There was great joy in the city as the Spirit of God moved across the nation. Wow, wouldn't that be a great opening for the 6 o'clock news? What if Americans returned to God because a leader decided to pray? You may not be the leader. You may not be the president. You may not be a pastor. You may not be a child of God yet. But if we turn and we repent, our prayers matter. All prayer to God matters. And as we build a relationship with him, we'll discover that he hears, he answers, and he's always waiting for our hearts to turn. What would it look like for America to pray? I'll be back in a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
It's recorded that there were some presidents who actually prayed. I believe I mentioned earlier, if not, I'll mention it now, that George Washington, by history, had a time of prayer. And when he prayed, he would separate himself from whatever, divorce himself from whatever was going on in the room. And he had a time of prayer. The founding fathers honored prayer. Do you know that this nation was founded because people were seeking religious freedom? They wanted to openly pray and serve God the way that they wanted to serve God. And I know it looks like on the surface that we've gotten away from that, but there is a return to those values, even though it doesn't seem like it on a mass scale right now. But believe what I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, as a prophetic utterance, there's a return to those values of serving God and seeking God in prayer. We will have a president given to prayer. We will have a president that will humble himself or herself before God and cry out on the behalf of the people as Solomon did. As I continue this journey today, I want us to highlight a couple of presidential prayers because I think it is so important that we get this message. We got to get it. We got to get it. George Washington had a prayer for guidance. And it went something like this: O eternal and everlasting God, I presume to present myself this morning before thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to accept of my humble and hearty thanks, that it had pleased thy great goodness to keep and preserve me the night past from all the dangers poor mortals are subject to, and has given me sweet and pleasant sleep, whereby I find my body refreshed and confident for performing the duties of this day, in which I beseech thee to defend me from all perils of body and soul. Increase my faith in the sweet promises of the gospel. Give me repentance from dead works. Pardon my wanderings and direct my thoughts unto thyself. The God of my salvation, teach me how to live in thy fear, labor in thy service, and ever to run in the ways of thy commandments. Make me always watchful over my heart, that neither the terrors of conscience, the loathing of holy duties, the love of sin, nor an unwillingness to depart from this life may cast me into a spiritual slumber, but daily frame me more and more into the likeness of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that living in thy fear and dying in thy favor, I may in thy appointed time attain the resurrection of the just unto eternal life. Bless my family, friends, and kindred. Wow. That's from the Washington Prayer Journal, Mount Vernon. One of the prayers of George Washington, a prayer for guidance. A president who actually prayed, who actually sought God. It is time for Americans to realize our responsibility as a spiritual nation, as a Christian nation, to begin to turn back toward prayer. What would happen if the president prayed openly and publicly? What if the State of the Union opened up something like this? Father God, in the name of Jesus, I know you have brought us so far, and I am asking you that you would take me, control me, and lead me, and help me to lead this great nation. What would happen? Yeah? Would your television still be on? Yeah? Would you be clicking and sharing across social media? What would you do if the president actually came forward and prayed like that? On March the 4th, 1801, Thomas Jefferson, Almighty God, who has given us this good land for our heritage, we humbly beseech thee that we may always prove ourselves a people mindful of your favor and glad to do thy will. Bless our land with honorable ministry, sound learning, and pure manners. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion, from pride and arrogance, and from every evil way. Defend our liberties and fashion into one united people the multitude brought hither out of many kindreds and tongues. Endow with thy spirit of wisdom those whom in thy name we entrust the authority of government, that there may be justice and peace at home, and that through obedience to thy law we may show forth thy praise among the nations of the earth. In time of prosperity, fill our hearts with thankfulness. And in the day of trouble, suffer not our trust in thee to fail, all of which we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. What would happen if presidents and leaders would turn toward God? There's a report of a country in Africa, and I don't have that in my notes right now, of the president who was born again and filled with God's Holy Spirit. that when he stands up to speak, the people are praising and shouting and worshiping God. I know that seems far away from your intellect, but God is not controlled by your intellect. He's God. And he is in his sovereignty, he can do what he wills. Also in his sovereignty, he wills that we will to allow him to show himself strong on our behalf. It's time for our nation to pray again. March 4th, 1865. Fondly do we hope, fervently do we pray, that this mighty scourge of war may speedily pass away. Yet if God wills that it continues until every drop of blood drawn with the lash shall be paid, another drawn with the sword, so still it must be said that the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right. Let us finish the work we are in to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and for his orphans, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. Abraham Lincoln, a prayer for peace. What would happen? Isn't it chilling to go back in history and see that we had presidents who prayed openly and publicly and would not deny God? I know it's not popular and it's not fashionable and it doesn't seem politically correct anymore for leaders of nations to stand publicly and openly declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord. But the Bible says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. How can we follow a leader who denies God publicly? And you say, well, this leader is not denying God publicly. Well, it's not expressing him openly in fullness. I believe that we are in a time, ladies and gentlemen. So, well, yeah. I know people will argue and want to debate, but that's on the other side of things. On this side of righteousness and seeing through God's eyes, he's calling this nation to pray. From the president to the Senate to the House, if you're not a believer, then become one. That's all I can tell you. Don't get left out. Get in and learn how to swim. Yeah. Because this nation is accountable for walking in peace and walking in love and helping as many people as we can help, as we did in days of old. That lies, bloodshed, there was bloodshed on these soils for people who wanted freedom and deserve to be free. I want to go back to 2 Chronicles 7 for a moment, and then I wanted to continue with some prayers of presidents. Yeah. When Solomon had finished praying, I love this teaching. Thank you. When Solomon had finished praying, as I continue to read in 2 Chronicles 7, the Bible says, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the Shekinah glory and brilliance of the Lord filled the house. Woo! The priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory and brilliance of the house of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. You see, we are the house of God today, and his glory and brilliance wants to fill us when we turn to him with all of our hearts. When all the people of Israel saw how the fire came down and saw the glory and brilliance of the Lord upon the house, they bowed down on the stone pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, and his mercy and loving kindness endures forever. Wouldn't you? You saw the glory of God. Leadership had just finished praying, and the power of God hit that place. The power of God hit the nation because leadership humbled himself. Then the king and all the people offered a sacrifice before the Lord. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep,
In this way, the king and all the people dedicated God's house. What did this king do? What did this president do? He made God's house a priority. Hello, amen, church. Is it true or is it true? The priests stood at their posts ready for service, and the Levites also, with the musical instruments of the Lord, which King David had made to praise the Lord, saying, "For his loving kindness and mercy endure forever." Whenever David offered praise through their ministry, the priests were opposite the Levites, blowing the trumpets, and all Israel was standing. Moreover, Solomon consecrated the middle of the courtyard that was in the front of the Lord, the front of the house of the Lord, for it was there that he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the bronze altar which he had made was not sufficient to hold the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, and the fat altogether. There was so much giving, not taxation. There was so much giving until the altar on which the offerings were laid, it was not able to hold them. And at the Feast of Dedication, at that time, Solomon observed the feast for 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very large assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the Brook of Egypt. On the 8th day, they held a celebration. Hallelujah. They were rejoicing, for they had observed the dedication of the altar for 7 days and the feast for 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, Solomon sent the people to their tents, rejoicing. The nation went rejoicing. The nation went rejoicing. And happy in heart because of the goodness of the Lord had shown to David, to Solomon, and to his people Israel. So, well, Dr. Faye, that was Israel, God's chosen people. Well, America is chosen. Americans are God's chosen people to lead the world in goodness and kindness and love. Always has been, always will be. We've been set aside, and that's not natural Israel. We are a nation of spiritual Israelites. Yes, there are many born-again Christians here who have been called to change the course of the world. And we're not giving up, caving in and quitting because it's not popular or politically correct. We'll be like Jesus. We defy political correctness and things that oppose righteousness. Verse 11 says, and so Solomon finished the house. He finished God's house, putting it first. He finished the house of the Lord in the palace of the king. He successfully accomplished all that he had planned to do in the house of the Lord and in his palace. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer, and I've chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain falls, or if I command locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence and plague among my people. And verse 14 is which I want to close with today. Everyone remember this. Go back and read it. And my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek, crave, require as a necessity my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear them from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal the land. If my people would turn around, if my people would begin to pray, if Americans would begin to pray, if our president would openly begin to declare that Jesus is the Lord of his life and begin to pray. And I know I can feel it. Oh no, what would that do? That would bust your bubble and you can't hate on him anymore? That would give him different tweets? That would change the way you view him or the next president because they began to acknowledge God? Presidents have prayed publicly and privately. And some of them were so powerful, they were written down. As we continue and close out today, Franklin Delano Roosevelt had a prayer in dark times, and Lord, was he president in a very dark time. He says, Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, did you hear that? And our civilization, and to set free suffering humanity. Listen to these words. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness in their faith. They will need thy blessings. Their road will be long and hard, for the enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces. Success may not come with rushing speed, but we shall return again and again. And we know by thy grace and by the righteousness of our cause, our sons will triumph. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants unto thy kingdom. And for us at home, fathers, mothers, children, wives, sisters, and brothers of brave men overseas, whose thoughts and prayers are ever with them, help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in thee in this hour of great sacrifice. Give us strength. Oh, give us strength too. Strengthen our daily tasks to redouble the contributions we make in the physical and the material support of our armed forces. With thy blessings, we shall prevail over the unruly forces of our enemy. Help us to conquer the apostles of greed and racial arrogance. Sounds like he's praying today. Lead us to the saving of our country and with our sister nations into a world unity that will spell a sure peace, a peace invulnerable to the schemes of unworthy men, and a peace that will let all men live in freedom, reaping the just rewards of their honest toil. There are more, and we will continue this in the messages to come. What would happen if a people began to pray? What would happen if this nation led the world in a revival of prayer? What would happen? We would see something like this world has never seen before. We will see a challenge no longer being a challenge, but an opportunity to do good. This message is stirring. I know that it is. And you're part. And I invite you to share it across social media. Tell people to get on board. And I want you to join us at wakeupandpray.com, because we want to invite every person to band together. We want to see at least 1 million strong praying around the world, not only for America, but praying for the strangers, praying for those we don't know, praying for those who have come and want to come to America, praying for those places and countries where America is represented as ambassadors are going around the world. We want to pray. Thank you for being a part of Intentional today. I'm Dr. Fay. Let's pray. God bless the listeners. Heal the nation. In Jesus' name.